As we said earlier, jobs are topping President Obama's agenda this week. He's traveling to North Carolina and Puerto Rico to encourage private industry to start hiring again after receiving disappointing economic news this past month. Unemployment on the rise, housing prices falling, oil hovering around $100 a barrel, and some economists warning of a possible double-dip recession. Let's get a quick update on business news with Adi Ignatius, editor-in-chief of the Harvard Business Review. Adi, welcome.
Thank you.
Let's take a look at that double dip fear first. I mean, we know how we're supposed to picture it. It's a W instead of a U or a V. But what is it really?
Well, it's hard to say what it is going to be. The optimists are hoping that the recent softening, May was a terrible month for almost everybody, that the recent softening had everything to do with high gas prices, with disruptions from Japan, that this is temporary and that there's some basic momentum in the economic recovery that we'll see again.
So in other words, we were in a recession, which is the bottom of the U or the V, right? We were starting to climb back out, and the fear is that we plummet down to the other side of the W?
Well, hopefully not that deep. Again, this is an optimistic scenario. It's a lot about expectations. It's a lot about policy choices. I mean, as you know, the government is in discussions now about whether we're going to increase the debt limit. That matters a lot in terms of psychology, in terms of what people think about the strength of our economy, the strength of our currency, and a bad outcome there could throw all bets off. A good outcome, and maybe we don't get hit as hard as the pessimists think.
And when you say good outcome, you're then voting for raising the debt ceiling, whereas, as you know, Republicans are saying that's a bad outcome. So,
well, fair enough. I think a good outcome is that before we're declared in default or before we're downgraded, that there is an agreement to raise the debt limit ceiling. And surely that will be accompanied by significant cuts as well that everybody can basically get behind.
Well, what about spending overall? You know, talking about having to make all these cuts to please everyone in the debate over the debt ceiling. And then on the other hand, you know, we've been hearing that it's the spending that is the engine of the economy. So what are your thoughts about that?
Well, I guess ultimately the private sector has to feel comfortable that we're really growing and they can start hiring again. I mean, you know, governments don't create wealth. They sort of distribute it. So there's a limit to any kind of government stimulus that can really get an economy going. I mean, I would say the economists I talk to are still relatively optimistic that we're not headed for a deep second plunge, but rather this is more of a hiccup.
Let's talk about China. The Chinese government projected growth at 7%, down from 10%. Still huge compared to the U.S. right now, below 3%. But why is it down from 10%? What's the slowdown in China?
China had a very effective stimulus last year. They just spent a lot of money and really, and this is still essentially a state-directed economy, and they decided where the money would go, and they really sort of boosted the economy when it most needed it fairly effectively. The problem is that helped stoke an inflation that now has Chinese citizens and Chinese leaders concerned. What's tricky is that China has raised living standards unbelievably successfully, and they've managed to deliver every single year. What we've seen in other countries and what's at risk always in China is if you don't continue to match those expectations, do you sow the seeds of instability? There were 180,000 examples of unrest in China in the past year. China is potentially volatile.
Well, and you mentioned those incidents of unrest. We were thinking of one that was the explosion at the Foxconn factory where they were reportedly making Apple's iPad 2. People were killed. But it's the same company where 13 workers committed suicide because of the working conditions. And we were thinking that how much longer is this huge workforce going to be grateful just to have a job and not want better working conditions? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, as long as everyone's getting richer, that's okay. And that's been the government's deal. You will keep your mouth shut on political issues. We will allow you to get rich. And as long as they come through on the second part, then the first part, I think people are willing to make that deal. If people do feel that the gap, the rich-poor gap is getting wider, that corruption is getting worse, and there's signs that both of those things are true, at some point, all of this is going to bubble up and you know, hopefully not in an overly destabilizing way.
We're talking with Adi Ignatius, editor-in-chief of the Harvard Business Review, just kind of taking a look at a potpourri of questions about the economy. And just one last one. Roger Martin's recent book, Fixing the Game, Bubbles, Crashes, and What Capitalism Can Learn from the NFL. He's the dean of the business school at the University of Toronto. This book is blasphemy in the business world. And what does it have to do with the NFL?
What Roger was motivated by is, look, CEO pay is essentially back to levels it was before the crisis. And after the financial crisis, there was sort of a consensus that part of the problem was short-term thinking, that CEOs were compensated based on the stock price, primarily its short-term movement, and that was misaligning interests and not creating long-term growth. So Roger was very interested in that. And he found a metaphor that really animates his book, which is comparing our economy with the NFL. So there's sort of two games going on each week in the NFL. There's the score of the games, but then there's the betting against the point spread. And the NFL has always been very careful to keep those separate. What really matters is the real score, and the betting is a sidelight. What Roger argues is that in the real economy, we've got that sort of backward, that the expectations game, the equivalent of a point spread, has become sort of a paramount indicator for whether or not a CEO is functioning effectively, whether the results are exceeding Wall Street's consensus expectations. So he says it's almost like if Tom Brady and the Patriots win a game, that Brady gives a press conference afterwards and apologizes for not beating the point spread. That would be ridiculous. Well, in essence, CEOs have to do that. They actually achieve good results, but they find themselves apologizing to Wall Street if they haven't beaten these expectations. Again, it adds to this distortion where there's so much emphasis put on short-term results that may have nothing to do with the long-term interest of a company.
The book, again, is Roger Martin's Fixing the Game, Bubbles, Crashes, and What Capitalism Can Learn from the NFL. Not going over very well, we understand, in the business world. Adi Ignatius, editor-in-chief of the Harvard Business Review, with a book review and a review of economic stories that have come across our radar. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Quick update for you. The AP says the Syrian army is now in full control of the insurgent town of Jisr al-Shagur after troops led by President Bashar Assad's brother entered the town this weekend. Refugees who fled say about 60 army defectors were defending it alongside some 200 unarmed residents who can't have fared well. And one wonders, were there any bloggers there? Last week, we brought you the story of the blogger Gay Girl in Damascus, who was reported missing, possibly detained in Syria. It turns out the blog was written by Tom McMaster, an American living in Scotland. He wrote yesterday that it was a work of fiction, one he hoped would raise awareness about Syria, and he was touched by the reaction of readers. But as NPR social media strategist said to us last week, if it is a hoax, which it is, what happens when a real blogger goes missing? Will anyone believe it and look for them? Back in a minute, here and now.